Does anybody else want to grant any permits? Just, we would get you out of here sooner. No, okay. Doesn't usually happen.
Yeah.
Case 5 was continued. Case 6. Yeah, 22-250. Good morning. Morning, sir. Can you please identify yourself for the record, spelling your last name and indicating the authority you're representing here today?
I'm Lieutenant Brian Weir from the Trumbull Police Department, and my last name is W-E-I-R.
Okay, Lieutenant, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes. The appellant turned in their pistol permit application on May 5th, 2021, which failed to disclose the appellant's previous pistol permit revocation. A background check on the appellant showed that their Connecticut pistol permit had been previously revoked by the issuing authority on January 7th, 2011. A further check on the appellant to include a Department of Correction showed that the appellant had an FBI number, a State Police Bureau of Identification number. The appellant had been sentenced and admitted to the Department of Corrections, provided a DNA felony swab, and had been on the Deadly Weapon Offender Registry. Even though a criminal history did not exist, the issuing authority has a history with the appellant. A check of the issuing authority's in-house computer system showed that the appellant had several contacts with the issuing authority and the other police agencies regarding drugs, firearm-related offenses, and felony arrests. The appellant had been on the Deadly Weapon Offender Registry, in which I personally assisted and documented the appellant. The appellant's pistol permit application was then denied on August 10th, 2021, based on the criminal history regarding the appellant's previous police contacts and arrests, in which the issuing authority was involved in, the appellant's incomplete and misleading information on the submitted on their pistol permit application, and based on suitability.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Sir, would you like to make an opening statement?
When I applied for the permit and it came to the part about was it revoked? So, with the amount of time that was involved over like 10 years and what had happened when it said it for the domestic, like why it was revoked, that I broke a restraining order, like what happened? I was going to go to a hospital for a problem I was having. And when the police, I bumped into my sister, and my brother-in-law called the police. And when they came there, they just said, you have a restraining order. And I said, I don't understand. I said, I couldn't broke a restraining order today because I didn't leave the house yet. But it was, my wife had, I guess, filed for a restraining order. So when I went and when I came back, she wanted me like go to my mother's for a while because we just weren't having a problem. After I was arrested and I came home, and then time went by, and then I got a call from a state police sergeant, a lady, and she said because of the domestic that she wanted me to send my permit in. Then I had other problems in the meantime, and I just thought that when she pulled the permit and I didn't get it renewed, I thought it just expired. And I understand, and then I just didn't have all that information, and then it was like 10 years went by, and I had never had, you know, no problems or anything, and I just put down, I thought it was expired, so I put down it wasn't revoked. And then when they sent me the denial, and then I got all this information back, and I seen how they voted on it that okay, they had pulled it because of that incident at home, and then besides that, I had a problem, and I sold two guns because I couldn't use them anymore, and I was a different person, and like I said, it's been over 10 years, and I haven't had any problems with the police or my wife, anybody. And I just thought, you know, this was something that I never had a problem with guns. I never was arrested with any problems like that. And I just wanted to, you know, you have a permit and go target shooting or hunting and with my son now, and I can't do all those things anymore. And I don't consider myself a risk or, you know, in the future. And I'm really sorry, you know, about my past, but that's the past. And even when I was denied and then it was like, okay, and then they said, it was like gonna be like a year and a half, 2 years, and I accepted that. I said, that's even better for me. It'll be more time will go by to just show that I'm not a problem. And that's why I pursue this, you know, because I got everything else in my life is great. And this, I just reflect on this as like, even if I don't even buy, I don't know if I would even buy more guns now. Like, I feel different about it now. But to be able to is, that's what, you know, it's like just to not be able to, it seems like, so like I'm having a grudge held against me for a past life that I don't live anymore. And that's where I'm at right now. And I understand what the police department and you know, like, yeah, they watch and they're very effective. And they have all right to, but I would just hope for consideration that there's not been any bump in the road since those incidents. And the last incident was 2013. So we're talking, you know, it's quite a while. It's not just skeptical, like, well, you know, a couple of years, maybe wait a couple more years. I think this is sufficient to show a track record that I'm not a problem. And I was just hoping that you guys would see that.
Thank you, sir. Lieutenant, you may proceed with your case.
Okay. On Wednesday, May 5th, 2021, the appellant submitted their signed and notarized pistol permit application to the issuing authority. On the appellant's submitted application, the following questions were answered as follows. Have you had any firearms permit application or eligibility certificate of any kind from any jurisdiction in the United States denied, suspended, or revoked? The appellant checked the no box. Have you ever been arrested for any crime in the jurisdiction, in any jurisdiction? The appellant checked the no box. Have you ever been convicted under laws of this state, federal, or the laws of another jurisdiction? The appellant checked the no box. An NCIC collect computer check on the appellant showed that their Connecticut pistol permit had been revoked effective 2011, January 7th, by local town issuing authority. Even though a criminal history check showed that no state or FBI criminal record regarding the appellant, a Connecticut Department of Correction check showed that the appellant was issued an FBI number, a State Police Bureau of Identification number. The appellant had been sentenced and admitted to the Department of Corrections, provided a DNA felony swab, and had been on the Deadly Weapon Offender Registry. An in-house computer check on the issuing authority's computer system showed that the appellant had numerous police contacts in addition to the following. On February 26th of 2013, there was a larceny. The appellant received a phone call from a neighboring police detective asking if the appellant knew the whereabouts of a gun that was registered to the appellant. The appellant stated the guns were missing from the appellant's safe and learned that this detective had possession of the appellant's firearm. The detective recovered the firearm from the firearm from an individual who described the appellant and stated they bought the gun from the appellant, but the appellant denied this. The appellant then reported these guns missing to the issuing authority and provided a sworn written statement. The appellant was interviewed by another police agency and the appellant continued to deny any involvement in the appellant's missing guns. And the appellant later advised that the appellant had a drug problem and later admitted to selling the guns for drugs, not money. The issuing authority then applied for and served an arrest warrant on the appellant for charge of false statement. On March 15, 2013, State Police requested assistance apprehending an appellant for an active felony warrant involving firearms. Officers from the issuing authority assisted the State Police, located and apprehended the appellant. The appellant was arrested by Connecticut State Police gang unit. On January 12th of 2015, the issuing authority received information from Connecticut State Police regarding the Deadly Weapon Offender Registry, advising that the appellant is a registrant with the registration date of 12/22/14 and must register for 5 years. So the, from January 2015 through December of 18th, the appellant reported to the issuing authority to comply with your deadly weapon offender registry, and I personally assisted and documented the appellant. On Tuesday, July 13, 2021, the issuing authority contacted Connecticut State Police Licensing and Firearms Unit inquiring as to why the appellant's pistol permit was revoked on 2011, January 7th. On Wednesday, July 21st, the State Police SLFU responded by stating, the appellant's pistol permit was initially revoked on January 7, 2011 due to an ex parte restraining order. The appellant was also subject to a protective order on January 10, 2011. Suitability was attached to the revocation on March of 2013 after the appellant was arrested by Connecticut State Police for firearms-related charges. Even though the appellant no longer has a documented criminal history, charges have been redacted. The issuing authority's in-house computer system checks do show previous arrests and documented police contacts between the appellant and several police agencies, in which I have personally involved the knowledge of. The previous police contacts document the appellant's previous interfering and lying with police, providing false police report, illegal selling and transfer of firearms, and illegal drug use and addiction. Also, based on the appellant's misleading and inaccurate information indicating that the appellant has never had any pistol permit revoked, in which he did in 2011, the issuing authority believes that the denial of the appellant's pistol permit is justified based on previous criminal and drug activities and also based on suitability.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Sir, do you have any questions for the lieutenant based on what he just testified to?
No, it's all true, but...
Just questions. We'll get to your case in a minute. So do you have any questions?
No.
I'm going to let you talk about
what you need to talk about
next.
No questions.
Just trying to keep things in order. Does the board have any questions for the lieutenant?
Yes. regarding the illegal sale of firearms issues that had come up in this, do you know whether or not the people that received the firearms from the appellant were legally authorized to possess firearms, or was it something, was that the illegal nature of the transaction?
I don't know who the people were. I don't want to speculate and give false information here, so.
All right, because obviously, you know, we don't want to see guns going into the hands of people who don't have permits for them.
Correct.
And I was just curious as to whether you knew.
Correct.
Thank you.
Other questions? Lieutenant, did Trumbull apply for arrest warrant for the false statement?
Yes.
Was that granted?
Correct.
That's on the pistol permit application that I'm asking. I know that there was a false statement allegation for the larceny.
Oh, I didn't do it for the application.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, no other questions? Sir, do you live in Trumbull?
Yeah.
I should have asked at the beginning. Okay, you can tell us what you'd like us to know.
Well, it's just that it was a horrific time in my life, and afterwards, and I went to jail for that, and, you know, paid a severe price, and that was what made me realize that accountability. I learned that, you know, and plus, like, afterwards, I went, after all that, and I went and got a pardon from the state, and I had never, you know, had any other problems in my life since then.
Thank you, sir. Lieutenant, do you have any questions for the appellant?
No, I do not.
Does the board have any questions?
I'd like to ask you the same question I kind of fumbled over with the chief here. The persons that you delivered your firearms to or sold your firearms to, do you know whether or not they had permits to have possessed firearms?
I didn't know if they had permits. I didn't do paperwork. I didn't do paperwork to transfer the guns.
And you know that that's the law in Connecticut?
No, I do. You know, I wasn't really aware of that, and like I should. But it was my responsibility, and I did not, you know, do it the right way.
Okay.
Well, I'm wrong.
Yeah, I'm glad you're owning up to that responsibility.
Oh, absolutely. It's,
you know, diversion of guns from lawful purchasers to illegal purchasers is a really serious
what
problem.
What happened also, to amplify this, was right before, 6 months after this, or before, that's when Sandy Hook happened. Mm-hmm. So this everything was on fire now. And then here I pull a stunt like this, you know, it was like horrible. And I was just so glad that even though I suffered, that they got the guns back, no one got hurt with them. because I don't know where I would have been if something bad had happened like that, and I regret that.
Right, well, that's your concern, it's our concern.
Yeah, you know, I know that I made a terrible mistake.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Seeing none, sir, would you like to make a closing statement?
That's, I'm good, that's, I can't say anything more. I'm sorry that happened, it's in the past, and I hope I, you know, that I respect it and hope that I can get past this, that's all.
Lieutenant, would you like to make a closing statement?
Please. Based on the background investigation of the appellant, their incomplete and misleading information submitted on their pistol permit application, the criminal history regarding the appellant's previous police contacts and arrests in which the issuing authority was involved in, and my personal knowledge regarding the appellant's previous deadly weapon offender registry status, I believe that a denial of the appellant's pistol permit is justified based on their history of false reports, illegal sale of firearms, illegal drug use, leading to the deadly weapon offender registry status, and factors of suitability. Thank you.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Does the board have any comments? Seeing none, Dr. Conrad.
Issuing authority.
Attorney Sinetti.
Yeah, I can't get past the illegal transaction with the firearms. I have to vote for the issuing authority, excuse me.
Mr. Gray.
Issuing authority.
Colonel Lewis.
Issuing authority.
Chief Rosenzweig.
Issuing
authority. Chair votes issuing authority. 6-0 in favor of issuing authority. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.